The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Executive Director Ray Andrewson. These are podcasts and conversations and interviews we bring to you with our members every other week here at the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And today, it's the law. We're laying down the law today. What we'd like to do is talk about legacy law partners in State Street in North Haven, what they do, some of their areas of expertise. Joining us is the managing partner, Brian Etter, who's with us. Brian, it's good to have you here on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Ray. I'm excited to spend some time today.
There's a lot that you go over here in terms of your expertise in your practice areas. But I'd like, before we start talking about all the practice areas itself with legacy law partners, the establishment. You know, you established your firm, you're in a beautiful location, we had a beautiful ribbon cutting, love the green colors that you've chosen. I think you're ready for HGTV. Tell us a little bit about getting together, forming your practice, and the partnership, because you seem to be a real together group.
Yeah, thank you so much for pitching that broad question. It's something that, you know, I love to speak on because I'm proud of who we are. I'm proud of the fact that we launched Legacy Law Partners last summer. It was August of 22. And it was a long, windy road. You know, it was like the best of times and the worst of times. Charles Dickens would be very proud of us. So despite the fact that we are, you know, still a firm in its infancy, the previous iteration of this firm has a longstanding history as well. I was actually a partner for over 6 years at a former iteration of the firm. So Legacy Law Partners, it's kind of this concoction of new and old at the same time. A lot of the players in the game and my teammates around here, they came with me from this previous iteration. We were Wiley Etter Doyon on Washington Avenue and, you know, still in North Haven. So my partner, Amanda, you know, she worked with me for a couple of years at the previous firm. We have our COO, Sarah Salato, and she and I have been working together for upwards of a decade. And then we have Melissa Aprile, who's our estate planning paralegal, and she's been around for about four and a half years. So it's a combination of continuity, but new beginnings, new branding, new colors, new office space. But we're doing a lot of the exact same, you know, legal work for our clients that we've been doing for a number of years by this point.
Well, in terms of a number of years, those of us who plan to live a number of years or are looking forward as well as backward in their life, one of the major areas of your practice is estate planning and certainly protecting assets as well. So let's get in a little bit about the specialties of the variety of practice areas that you're engaged in. If I'm having my initial consultation with you, Brian, I'm sitting down or with Amanda or somebody on your staff there about estate planning. What are some of the key components of doing this right?
Yeah, glad you asked. It's something that a lot of people kind of struggle to really envision. Like, what's it like to sit down with an attorney in a conference room? Is it going to be stuffy? Is it awkward? Is it scary? We really want to set the stage for just a friendly conversation. You know, our typical clientele or like our client avatar is people a lot like us, just well-to-do moms and dads and, you know, sons and daughters and business owners. So it really doesn't have to be this scary conversation, nor does it have to be a negative one. You know, people think about estate planning and they immediately think about their death. And yes, we do talk about obviously planning for that and, you know, trying to smoothen the path for the people that we love, you know, post-mortem. But we like to present a narrative that's a lot more friendly. You know, our day is going to come at some point. So the best that we could do for the people that we care about is to do the prior planning, right? Put the protections in place to smoothen that road and introduce conveniences and benefits and protections. So in these initial consultations, I just want to get to know people. You know, I cast a wide net and ask questions about the family tree, the family dynamics, you know, what are the hopes and goals and dreams and concerns? And we naturally start gravitating towards the appropriate estate plan.
Everything in life is unpredictable. We'd like to think about everything as predictable, but the idea of estate planning is to provide some predictability and to sort of cushion the blows of life. So let me ask you, Brian, a little bit about how you go about that, because we're now seeing evolving and different family characteristics. We're understanding that people are more mobile, they're moving away. We understand in just in terms of education, in terms of the debt for education for young folks, and in terms of the estate planning for health management, we're all, if we get to 60 or 70, God willing, we can live to 90 or 95, a long time in retirement. So all those complex factors, when you sit down with the initial discussion with you, how do you work all those complexities into your plan?
Well, we talk in terms of the trust or the will, as the case may be, as being the core of the plan. But that core has to be orbited by, you know, supplemental documents that speak to things such as long-term financial management, you know, healthcare decision making. So I'm not a financial advisor, Ray. I know enough to be dangerous, and I know enough to issue spot and inject a true certified financial planner when the opportunity strikes. But the financial plan and the estate plan should really not just supplement each other, but literally like intertwine. You know, they really have to collaborate with one another. But you touched upon health, right? Healthcare decision making. We as a society are living longer, you know, with advancements in medical technology and medications themselves. We are living longer these days. So there very well may be a period of time where my clients are, you know, living the rest of their days in assisted living or a nursing home. And we have to have flexibility within the plan. You know, something within the plan has to speak to that period of time to make sure that the right decision makers are in place and that those decision makers are outfitted with the correct infrastructure and the correct guidance to make informed decisions.
You're also dealing with facts, you're dealing with putting a plan together, but you're also dealing with emotions. You're dealing with a person's personal projection and feelings about other people. So how do you sit down and as you do, talk in a very compassionate, empathetic way with your clients?
That's where that narrative comes into play. You know, people, as mentioned before, don't know quite what to expect. And some people are spooked at the prospects of speaking directly about, you know, a period of time where they're no longer here. And what's to become of my spouse? What's to become of my children, my grandchildren? I like to twist and turn the narrative on its head and really kind of present a positive, you know, outlook on these conversations. You know, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. It's wonderful that you had the wherewithal to come sit with me. You know, your children are really going to smile favorably upon this and thank you for a clear, concise, you know, plan that you're putting in place for them. So I want my clients to walk away from these experiences, not just with a stack of documents. Like, yes, the documents matter, the paper matters, but the education behind that plan and the spirit and the feelings behind that plan matter at least as much, if not more.
So let's talk now about CYA, which is cover your assets. And that's something.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. A lot of people don't think about that, but it is a tax situation, but it's also really making sure that you have the legal boundaries so that for yourself and for future generations that you're protected. And the home is generally, for most people, the largest asset they have. But some people now are building up fairly substantial estates. So when you sit down with somebody and talk about protecting assets, how do you enlighten your clients?
Yeah, so I start with a conversation that goes something like this. There's an inverse relationship between access/control and protection, which is to say the more you can access your assets, the less protection is afforded to you. Inversely, if your children are inheriting from you through a trust, for example, something that they did not create, they, you know, did not control at the onset, they were not involved in drafting the terms of this trust, they never had historical ownership of the assets that were initially funded into the trust, because of a lack of incidence of ownership, they enjoy substantial protections. So this is our opportunity to provide our children an inheritance that, you know, really experiences substantial protections against potential divorces, lawsuits, creditor attacks, bankruptcy proceedings, long-term care incidents. I oftentimes tell my clients, I would genuinely rather leave my children a little bit the right way as compared to a lot the wrong way. And I've seen it with my own eyes, you know, what improper planning can do. And no two situations are the same, right? People come to me during different periods of life, during different periods of their own health environment. You know, maybe they just suffered a loss in the family, so they are very intimately aware as to their impending mortality. So depending on what type of outcomes the client wants to generate and within what time periods, that really helps point us in the direction of the correct tool, right? The correct type of plan, and all the advisory behind it.
So when we're talking about protecting assets and we're talking about safety and we're talking about an aspect of your practice, which of course is the special needs planning, wills and trusts, so on and so forth. The complexity of this is recognizing that aptly named trusts require some trust, but you never know. You cannot envision 10 or 20 years down the road with somebody who's say 60, what their health will be like, what their family characteristics will be like later on in life. So you really kind of open up the umbrella for everybody.
Absolutely, which is why, you know, we oftentimes kind of default to something called a revocable living trust, which we actually call legacy trusts around here for branding purposes. And also to try to signal to our community members and our clients why they're doing this. They're doing this to leave a legacy. You know, oftentimes, you know, we butt into people who really try hard throughout all the decades of their lives to accumulate assets, to raise their children. This is simply that next mile, right? That investment to make sure that assets that they worked hard to accumulate are there over time. They perpetuate for the benefit of their family, and that no external forces are going to rip those assets away from them. So yeah, there's a lot to love about these conversations in my mind. And again, no two situations are the same. We do have to identify where are we at on the spectrum of life. But that revocable living trust, because it's revocable and amendable, we can retain flexibility as the calendar turns and as people come in and out of their lives and, you know, the financial landscape changes, maybe grandchildren are born, we have the flexibility to invade the original document and roll with the punches.
Aptly named as you are, Legacy Law Partners, we're talking about a legacy, we're talking about estate planning, but we've talked about what you are and what practices you have. Let's talk about the misconceptions some people may have. You mentioned you're not a financial planner, for example, certainly not a physician, but you're certainly not going to go in a complete deep dive into all the details of Medicare, for example. However, let's talk about what you're not. So when people show up and expect you to take care of a certain issue, you can't help them with that. You have to refer them out.
Yep. Wonderful, you know, kind of conversation to start there, because there's a lot of miscommunication and misconceptions in the community. For example, we do a lot of estate administration, which is kind of this big old umbrella that incorporates probate, okay, kind of pushing assets through the probate process, as well as trust administration. That's the management and distribution of assets through a trust. But the catch-all term overseeing those two kind of sub-practice areas is estate administration. And when people see the word estate or they run a Google search for estate lawyer, a lot of times they'll, you know, they're thinking in terms of real estate, like residential real estate closings, you know, purchasing and sales. We don't do that. We don't do any type of real estate closings, although we know enough to be dangerous. You know, we deal with enough real estate issues within our estate planning, our trust funding, and our probate work that we have a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of resources at our disposal to make an outside referral for actual closings. That's probably a low-hanging fruit example of, you know, oftentimes bumping into practice areas or requests for work that we just really don't attend to directly.
That's a very important distinction, because a misconception sometimes, somebody can walk out of your office and you just tell them exactly what you don't do, because they really need to know that as well as what you are engaged in. So just as a close and sort of an overview, Brian, to be prepared, to someone to come to you and have a conversation. Their initial conversation is softer and friendly. Obviously, it's just sort of getting to know you. But what kind of material should people be preparing, focusing on now, so they can be give you the opportunity to be the most effective for them in estate planning?
Yeah, we don't like to throw roadblocks in front of prospective clients, like no impediments that really necessitate the need to delay that initial meeting. We tell clients just come in with an open mind, come in ready to have a friendly conversation, and we'll get there. I'll quarterback that conversation. I'll identify items, whether that be documents or information that's necessary to cross the finish line as we move along. But if clients show up with nothing but the shirt on their back and hopefully some pants on as well, we can make some major headway in that initial consult. And then as we migrate through the process and we get into our design planning, then we have the signing meeting, and then we have a funding meeting. As we move along and kind of mature through the estate planning process, that's when we'll start collecting additional asset information like account numbers, policy numbers. I'll start to reach out and introduce myself to the financial advisor or accountant, you know, that might be involved with this family as well. So initially, just come on in. Let's start a conversation, get to know each other, and we'll check all the boxes along the way.
You have a good website. It's very clear. It's very concise. Navigating around, you have all the blocks of information. You describe all of your areas of expertise. So you would encourage people to go there and learn more?
Absolutely. LegacyLawPartners.com. So we do asset protection, trust planning. We do will planning, powers of attorney. We also handle probate matters, trust administration cases. And actually, the third kind of major practice area that we haven't really quite talked about is business succession planning. So if there's a business owner, you know, that just wants some operational support, some know-how as far as, you know, what kind of agreements can be put in place with existing partners. Maybe they're looking to, buy a business or sell all or a part of their business. We can handle that as well. Business owner clients, Ray, are gold for us because we can really hit it on both ends. We can establish a personal estate plan, but then also, you know, be extremely helpful on the business operations and, you know, succession planning, exit strategies side of things as well.
Yeah, excellent. Well, your location is excellent. State Street in North Haven. You're right near the infamous and well-known Liuzzi's, source of happy cholesterol, State Street Cafe, 12% brewery across the street. And of course, right next door, the golf course. So you can start hitting your golf balls as you have an opportunity to meet with Brian and his partners. Again, Legacy Law, Legacy Law Partners in North Haven. Brian Etter, Managing Partner. Thanks for being on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. We certainly learned a lot today.
Thanks for having me, Ray. I appreciate it.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quincham.com. That's randrewson@quinncham.com.